This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Now, if you look up the textbook definition of being out of touch, I think that particular descriptor could apply to one Governor Andrew Cuomo. Rumors are he's lounging poolside as this bombshell report dropped, 165-page report, which recounts the facts as related by 11 women who worked for Governor Cuomo or came to his attention, writes the Wall Street Journal. How wonderfully archaic. No, this was a workplace that was absolutely toxic. And is it time for him to go? Well, we're about to find out, writes the Wall Street Journal editorial board, if Democrats believe what they say about having no tolerance for sexual harassment, because if they do, then they have little choice other than to move to impeach Andrew Cuomo as the governor of New York. You think he'll resign? He's a megalomaniac. Of course he won't. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310, that KFKA, 709 now, Mornings with Gale, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joined this morning by John O'Connor, legal analyst and author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. And John, welcome back to the show. I couldn't wait to talk to you this morning.
Well, good morning, Gail. We've got a lot to talk about, don't we?
Well, there's a lot to unpack here. And I understand that you have to let the legal process work its way through. But for heaven's sakes, John, I mean, to say this was a toxic environment and the amount of interviews, I mean, even Governor Cuomo was among the 179, I believe, give or take, who were interviewed. And they found the 11 women who brought up sexual harassment charges to be credible. They had backing of either eyewitnesses or they were texting in real time as Governor Cuomo was getting a little creepy with them. How can there be any question here that he's got to go?
Well, there really isn't. I mean, they have him by the short ones on this one, Gail. And so there's no way he can get out of it. Now, he can say, well, that's just me. I'm old-fashioned. But at the bottom line, here are the two things that are in play here. A lot of this is a battle between the progressives, AOC, the real insanely progressive people, and just the absurdly progressive people like Cuomo. And Cuomo differs from AOC and her group on a number of issues. From she wants to raise the capital gains, Medicare for all, et cetera, et cetera. She nominated, she tried to endorse Cynthia Nixon for governor. So there's a big thing between her and between him and the progressives. Tish James can't wait to be governor. That's the attorney general who's doing this. There's a lieutenant governor waiting in the wings who will probably take the place if he gets impeached. Now what's going to happen is he's going to hang on for dear life.
Of course he is.
He's going to call up all his corrupt and grafting favors from the corruptible and graftable state legislature there.
His cronies.
So he'll probably stand, but what's going to be delicious about this and watching it is you're going to see how completely hypocritical everyone is on the Democratic side. Because now remember this, it's going to put the Bill Clinton thing in context. He survived because, gee, it was the right thing to do. It was just we kept our boy in power. And now we've got this, and this is much worse than anything Clinton did, in the sense that Clinton, the stuff he did, well, there was a couple things where they weren't consensual, but this, all this stuff is non-consensual. So it's going to make the Democrats look terrible. And you think about it, Gail, think about guys like Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein, mm-hmm. and you go down the whole list. They're all Democrats. They're all very liberal guys. So it teaches the country something. The people that are trying to do the right thing generally are on the right side of the aisle. And that's one of the things. And yet The other thing that's going to be exposed is, of course, the media, and I think you pointed it out. Are they really going to be covering this the way they would cover a conservative? I don't think so.
Could you imagine if this was a Republican governor, the coverage that this would be getting?
Oh, it would be nonstop. He wouldn't be able to eat at a restaurant. It would be a firestorm. And how can you let this guy stay in? Well, there are a lot of people who want him to stay in, and so the media is not going to really be blasting. CNN's not even covering this. Do you know that, Gail? They've decided not
to. Well, what's Chris Cuomo going to do with this, right?
Right, exactly. Exactly. I think if you've got a reporter that's in conflict, Chris Cuomo, you don't have him comment on it, but you cover it. They decided, well, gee, we won't cover it because of Chris. So it's so silly. It really makes him look bad.
Well, Governor Cuomo, I mean, is this a sterling example of power corrupts absolute, power corrupts absolutely? Because he is oblivious. I mean, to say that he's in denial doesn't even begin to cover it. Because after this report came out, and I'm just sitting there, my jaw hitting the floor, oh, you have his oily response. And Ryan, I think we have that clip because this was the corker, because I love Governor Andrew Cuomo's description of inappropriate behavior.
I want you to know directly from me that I never touched anyone inappropriately or made inappropriate sexual advances.
Yeah, basically he says, I was raised to be affectionate and I hug and kiss all sorts of people and we were subjected to the montage of powerful people that, you know, he was patting and hugging and kissing. And I'm thinking, this is absolutely disgusting. I go back to Ghostbusters. I felt like I had been slimed.
Well, that's right. And you notice he says inappropriate sexual advances. I guess he thinks everything he did was appropriate. He should say, well, I did make appropriate sexual advances. Oh, yeah. They got him. They got him here, Gail. That's one thing about it. He's going to look stupid, and the media's going to look stupid the way they're going to handle this.
Now, John, I have to wonder, because I've talked to quite a few folks, and they're saying, well, isn't it interesting that this is going to be the straw that breaks the governor's back? What about all of those nursing home deaths when he basically signed a death warrant during the height of the pandemic, sending thousands of seniors to their graves?
Well, that's right. And at the time... At the time, the female population in New York supported Cuomo even with those revelations because they thought he was so good for COVID. Now, I don't get that. I don't think he was so good with COVID, but they kept supporting him. I think this is going to erode his support. So you're going to find the his female numbers are going to go, they're going to tank. But can he hang on? And that's really a question of that graft and corruption there in New York. And you hit it right on the nail right on the head, Gail. This is really something that is it's one party rule, and therefore you do not think that you're vulnerable in any way, and that's the problem. It's one party rule.
So what's next in this entire sordid case?
Well, get out your popcorn, because there will be impeachment. I wonder if any of these women are going to get together and sue him. They could do that. If they do sue him, you know, then he's supposed to be defended by Attorney General James. But she could decide that what he did was not in the course and scope of his duties. If it's not within the course and scope of his duties, that is to say any sexual advances or your own personal deal, she could say, I'm not going to defend you. You got to spend your own money on the legal defense. That might be an interesting thing. So but these women have to get a lawyer that's willing to do this. There may or may not be a lot of damages there, even though he clearly was slimy. But if they do that, it'll be kind of fun because I'm not so sure James is going to defend him. So we've got a lot to look at, Gail. This is going to unfold, and it's going to be very, very interesting.
And will the mainstream media continue to ignore it?
Yes.
Obviously.
And that's the issue. They're going to find themselves losing some eyeballs if they don't cover it, and so they'll cover it, but they'll end up doing something, but it'll be pretty weak tea.
Well, we'll certainly cover it here with the likes of one John O'Connor. And one of these days, John, I promise we're going to devote a lot of time to talking about your book, because unfortunately, with the news breaking fast and furious, we never get to do that. But tell us a little bit about Postgate.
Well, it really is where all this stuff was born. Basically, with Watergate and all the young journalist inspired to go to journalism school to change the world. Well, once you do that, because you can, they understand that journalism is powerful, you just remove the president. All these young journalists joined the team. You have to join a team if you're going to change the world. And if you join the team, you hype up all the evidence in favor of the team and hide all the evidence against your team. And you have now perverted the whole idea of what a journalist is supposed to be. This whole idea of being an activist journalist doesn't make sense, because you're necessarily not going to tell the truth. And that's what I show in Watergate. That's what happened in Watergate. They hid so much evidence, it was ridiculous. And that's what I go through and show, that it was not negligent. It was intentional, and they did it with malice aforethought. They got Richard Nixon out of office on very false and deceitful reporting. And it's just a shame. Now, I'm not saying Nixon covered himself with glory here, but the reality is very complicated in Watergate, and the Post did their best to fool the nation. That's really what happened. They fooled us all. And it should be a lesson.
Yeah, definitely. A lesson that should be learned, because what is it? History doesn't repeat, but it echoes. And I'm sorry, when you see,
that's right.
Yeah, when you see the mainstream media carrying water for the Democrat Party, whatever happened to the Fourth Estate? Whatever happened to unbiased journalism?
Well, it's not here. They've all signed up for a team. They want to be behind the velvet rope. They want to be part of the power elite. And, oh, they're just so cool. It's just too hard to handle, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll break out the Jiffy Pop as the shenanigans continue when it comes to Governor Andrew Cuomo. Apparently, the New York State Assembly Judiciary Committee has given him an August 13th deadline to provide any evidence he wants before the committee considers articles of impeachment against him over this scandal. So at least there is hope. John O'Connor, legal analyst, author of Postgate, How the Washington Post Betrayed Deep Throat, Covered Up Watergate, and Began Today's Partisan Advocacy Journalism. Sir, always appreciate your time. And where can we find your book?
Let's go to postgatebook.com is the best way to do it. And also you can click on my podcast while you're on there, postgatebook.com.
Sounds like a plan. John O'Connor, thank you as always.
Gail, great talking to you. See you.
Take care. 720 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Speaking of water, Loveland says that problems have been fixed as the state alleges Tier 2 violations of drinking water rules. 728 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Now, according to a piece by Max Levy out of Prairie Mountain Media, Loveland Water and Power violated state drinking water rules by failing to install a gasket and a screen on two of its water storage tanks, and by using an unapproved inspection procedure, could be problematic, for ventilation screens on one of the tanks. Now, the violations were identified following a regular 3-year inspection by the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment on June 18th. You had Joe Bernoski, the director of the utility, saying that, well, this is some good news. All the violations cancellations were resolved a day after the state notified the city about the problems on July 13th. Now, what does that Tier 2 classification mean? Well, that meant that the utility had 30 days until August 12th to notify customers. A document on the state's website explaining how to draft a public notice for a Tier 2 violation notes that they are required for violations and situations that can have potential serious adverse effects on human health. But Bernoski, Joe Bernoski, again, director of the utility, Loveland Water and Power, said that the missing gasket and screen and the city's old procedure for inspecting those screens had not impacted water quality. Doubled down on that, saying, absolutely not. I am 100% confident that it did not. 7:30 now, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA. Well, those numbers, jobs numbers, are out slightly better than expected. And as promised, a look at the stocks that do the best in a tight labor market when Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth Loveland, weighs in right around 7:35.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
At 7:34, Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth of Loveland Inn, and boy, we were cogitating, we were stressing over these jobs numbers. Well, they're in, and they're much better than expected, right?
Were you on the edge of your seat?
I am right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, do tell.
Okay, do tell. First, economists today that were trying to estimate this number were hampered by the uncertainty created by reports of COVID spreading actually at a faster pace than it was last summer when there were no vaccines. Mm-hmm. But it turns out all of the statistics that go into this number were generally created before those news reports began. Still, the estimates of how many jobs were created averaged 845,000, but they ranged from 350,000 to 1.2 million. So the average guess on the part of economists was 845,000, the actual number 943,000. Just shy of 100,000 more jobs created in the month of July than analysts were estimating. Strongest industries were hospitality and food and drink outlets. The month before, in June, the number was 850,000. Even it was revised up to 938,000. The unemployment rate dropped to 5.4%. The expectation was 5.7%, and average hourly wages were up 0.4%. That's 4% year over year.
You don't want to have average hourly wages. Never
a good
thing.
That's a whole separate thing. Yeah.
Love it.
That's a whole separate thing. Yeah. So how are the markets reacting to this morning? Markets are reacting mixed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 151, almost a half percent, 35,215. The S&P 500 up 9 points at 4,438. That's 0.2%. And the NASDAQ, which sometimes, because of tech stocks and their need to borrow money, moves opposite of the 10-year treasury, the rate on the U.S. 10-year treasury interest rates. NASDAQ is down, but only 16 points at 14,878. That yield on the 10-year treasury worth looking at. It hit a bottom on Wednesday of 1.1. This morning it's at 1.28. Why? Because of the probability that numbers like this, if they continue, would give the Fed what it needs to start raising interest rates. And the 10-year Treasury is a market-driven number, not driven by the Fed. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, $69.64, up 55 cents, and Bitcoin this morning above 40,000 at 40,959. Jobs number key to the Fed's decision on when it will begin to move toward raising interest rates to control inflation. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said just, a couple weeks ago, said he wants to see a few strong jobs reports before the Fed will begin that process. And today's numbers are the first an indication of that. As kids go back to school, as federal unemployment benefits end in September, today's numbers may well be repeated and even exceeded in the fall, creating an even tighter labor market, which leads you to say, okay, what exactly is a tight labor market? A tight labor market is defined when the number of job opportunities outpaces the number of available workers. Again, a tight labor market when job opportunities outpace the number of available workers. Right now, employers with job opportunities can't find people willing to fill those jobs, and there are well over 9 million jobs unfilled. Tell me you don't see help wanted signs everywhere. By definition, that's a tight labor market. And for an investor, that raises the question, which companies do the best in tight labor markets? Okay, here's one criteria, something for you to remember. It can point you in the direction of that answer. Look for companies with the most revenue per employee. Generally, lower revenue per employee numbers point to a lower probability for growth, and higher revenue per employee numbers point to a higher probability for growth. Here's some examples, just three examples. Yesterday we were talking about Target. You think Target's pretty good. Its stock is up 70% year to date, right? Mm-hmm. We have a tight labor market. Target's revenue per employee is $240,000. In other words, Target generates $240,000 in revenue for every employee that it has. Since the beginning of the year, Target's stock has risen 70%. Go to the other end of with the two highest revenues per employee. You've got a number in your mind. Remember, Target was $240,000. Google's revenue per employee is $1.4 million.
Yikes.
Since the beginning of the year, Google stock has risen 105%. One more. Go to Facebook. Remember, Target's revenue per employee was $240,000. Their stock was up 70% for the year. Mm-hmm. Facebook's revenue per employee is $1.6 million.
Amazing.
Since the beginning of the year, Facebook stock has risen 155%, well, more, far exceeding double what Target's stock has done. Mm-hmm. Target at $240,000 per employee, Facebook at $1.6 million per employee. Target stock up 70%, Facebook up 155%. So what's the bottom line here? What's there to remember? Revenue per employee will not help you ID companies whose stock is about to rocket higher. It won't do that. It will tell you which companies may do the best in a tight labor market, which we have, which we're expected to continue to have with over 9 million unfilled jobs. Now, all of this is supposed to intensify in the fall when kids go back to school. And when federal unemployment benefits are taken away, and we're still generating, on the average, we've generated now over 800,000 jobs per month for the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. In the fall, that is expected to still be there, and the labor market is expected to get even tighter. So remember, revenue per employee. By the way, Google and Facebook, the two highest, are both among the 35 stocks that I recommend long-term investors consider owning.
Amazon on that list?
Pardon?
Amazon on that list?
Yes, it's on the list, but it's not as high. Oh. Because think about that. Amazon is more labor-intensive and equipment-intensive in all the delivery and all the warehousing and all of that. Whereas Google and Facebook revenues are mostly derived from electronics, from high tech.
Fascinating. I mean, how they come up with this and how it actually holds water. Because when you first started talking about it, I'm sitting there going, that's kind of a head scratcher. But as you just so articulately explained it, it makes all the sense in the world.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's this, U.S. Winning a gold in Olympic canoeing?
Yeah. Oh, and it's a pretty good story because there was this woman who was, she aspired to a track competition. And it turned out as a teenager, she was diagnosed with like hip dysplasia or something, some hip thing, and she couldn't do it. So what did she do?
So like a degenerative hip disease?
Something, yeah. And they said, no, it ain't going to fly. And so what did she do? She went to canoeing. Think about that. It's all upper body. I mean, not all, but mostly upper body instead of pounding. And so now the U.S. has a gold medalist in canoe racing.
Did you even know that canoeing was an Olympic event?
Oh, yeah. I've followed it for a long time. I'm a huge fan.
Well, it's ironic that you brought that up this morning because my other job as an editor and proofreader, I'm doing a book and it's all about Boy Scouts canoeing and portaging. And I've learned just about everything you'd ever not want to know about a J stroke, not to be confused with a light J stroke and a power stroke and the sweep stroke. And of course, there is the art of the feathering. I've learned so much. Put me on Jeopardy.
By the way, they say that we are almost at a point where we're going to get the answer to who's going to be the next host of Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. True that.
Yeah.
And you're a huge Jeopardy fan.
Don't watch it regularly, but I sure enjoy it when I do.
Yeah, but it's frustrating, isn't it? Because, I mean, they're so lightning fast, and you're like, wait, I know that.
Right.
That's how I always am, And every once in a while, it's like, bing, what is polymorphously perverse? You are correct, Gail.
It's a hoot. It really is.
But I do digress. All right. If you're thinking about how to maximize your retirement years, maybe not at 7:44 in the morning, but it probably crosses your mind from time to time, particularly if you are rapidly approaching those years. But no matter where you are in your career path, you need to get a plan to work for you. And that's why you need to get in touch with Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth in Loveland, because I'm sure you've got questions. And when it comes to all things retirement, guess what? He's got the answers.
Yep. And so let's start with answers to your questions available at the Loveland Office of Presidential Wealth Management by phone. Just leave a message with your question if you want over the weekend. Something occurs in a conversation, call us 970-776-7500.
Keith Weinman, Presidential Wealth, Loveland, canoe.
Nope.
7:45 now, this time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an absolutely amazing, hilarious production of Shrek the Musical. Keith and I had the opportunity to see it, and I would highly suggest you do the same. Shrek the Musical takes center stage through August 22nd. For tickets and show information, just jump online. Visit ColoradoCandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Football talk from someone in the trenches? Catch The Ellison Hubbard Show, Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, we're going to the dogs in this segment. This has the Pooch Plunge returns to Fort Collins' City Park Pool this summer. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 and KFKA. Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Gotta love this. Pooches will again be a plunging, writes Aaron Udell in the Fort Collins Coloradoan at City Park Pool this summer as the city brings back its annual tradition of letting the pool go to the dogs. The city's Pooch Plunge, which lets pups have a fun-filled afternoon or stint, as the case may be, at City Park Pool after it closes for the season, will take place from 4 to 6 p.m. August 22nd, and it was indeed canceled last year, and you know the reason why. Of course, the pandemic. The city has hosted the Pooch Plunge for more than 15 years. This is pretty cool. City Park Pool will be filled with hundreds hundreds of tennis balls donated by Lewis Tennis School. Pet-friendly vendors and animal experts will also be on site during the plunge. Now, you can purchase pre-sale tickets for $8 at fcgov.com starting in mid-August. And we're drawing ever nigh to that. Or wait to get day of tickets. There's a little bit of an upcharge, but only a couple of bucks. Day of tickets are $10. A ticket admits one dog and, yes, one human. Entry for pre-sale tickets holders will start at 3:30 p.m. Now, again, there's a litany of rules, as well as there should be. All dogs must be licensed, vaccinated, and wearing a visible dog license. They have to be accompanied by their owners. And, yes, as an owner, you're responsible for your dog's behavior and safety at all times. Dog owners responsible for waste removal and management. And we don't want to have a Caddyshack moment. If you follow my drift here, your pups are not permitted to poop in the pool. Owners are asked to take their dog to grassy areas for bathroom breaks. And your dog, well, hopefully your dog is socialized and well-behaved around other dogs. And any aggressive or disobedient dogs will be asked to leave. Well, I think the human will be asked to escort their dog out of the premises. Harsh handling of animals not tolerated. Any person deemed by city staff to be abusing or neglecting an animal will also be asked to leave. Swimming with your dog is also prohibited. But the Pooch Plunge returns to Fort Collins City Park Pool this summer. Closing in on 7:57 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 FM, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Everything you need to know about Northern Colorado is on NOCO now. Weekdays at 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Head for you this morning. Don't forget, as always, Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies, fatguysatthemovies.com, weighs in on some of the week's new releases when he joins us, as he typically does, at 8:35. But speaking of dogs, a benefit dog wash fundraiser at Dog's Own Grooming and Grooming School in Loveland this Saturday to support a great nonprofit, the Northern Colorado Wildlife Center. Talon Nightwalker, director of the Northern Colorado Wildlife Center, weighs in at 8:05. KFKA Greeley, 8 o'clock.